Greetings, this is Nigeria Anderson. You with UrbanBuzzMag.com, and I have Pastor Troy F. Vaughn with me. He has a new book out, Skid Row to CEO. Now, just the title alone should let you know the depth of where we're going today. So, Pastor Troy, please introduce yourself and let's start talking about the book a little bit and why you was compelled to share your story.
Yeah, Pastor Troy Vaughn. I am co-founder of Christ-Centered Ministries, a large nonprofit organization in stationed in the city of Inglewood, and providing services throughout Los Angeles County. And we oversee a network of close to 700 organizations that provide criminal justice reform to individuals returning home from custody across the state of California.
Wow.
And the book is, it chronicles my journey from homelessness, but not in a linear way. The book is designed to allow the reader to experience their own life story and the pages of the book. And the way the Lord gave it to me was really use a cinematic approach to writing this book, which I thought was, you know, a not conventional way to write a memoir, right? And he really wanted me to use it to create an idea of allowing people to create a snapshot of where I am presently, but then that present moment triggered a thought, a response in me that would move me back to a moment in my past that allows the reader to experience a part of my journey.
Right. Now let's talk about the journey, because the title from Skid Row to CEO, but also pastor in your title. Can you give us a little background about your faith?
Yeah. I was born in the traditional Christian tradition, as a Baptist. Where my family is the Baptist tradition.
Right.
And my mother, grandmother, all of them really devout believers in Jesus Christ and the Lord. So I grew up with that understanding, but really didn't really understand him for myself,
right,
even until my early age. And so it was later, in fact, through this cathartic process that, you know, I was able to, and I'm talking about my whole recovery, redemptive arc, really understand who the Lord is and who he is to me. Not just Savior, but Lord. And so I went on a journey of that and really began to allow his spirit to free me up, the fruit, really understanding who I wanted to be and how I wanted to show up in the world as a transformational leader, to really be demonstrative in my faith and not just somebody who was vocal about it, but to show my faith in tangible ways and let the kingdom work show itself, right, through my work.
Right. I wanted you to share on that because, you know, the scripture says, raise up a child, and even though he departs, he will find his way. I needed to just set that seed in there, because now when we talk about the departure, when we talk about how made it to Skid Row or landed in Skid Row, just talk about that separation part. How was you influenced by the enemy or by wicked devices that landed you on Skid Row?
You know, the subtlety of the enemy and the craftiness of how he weaves things is very strategic. You know, my path to Skid Row was through an illness that, unbeknownst to me, that I was suffering from.
Okay.
A mental illness. I was suffering from depression in response to a traumatic experience that I had when I was in the Marine Corps.
Okay.
And I had a psychotic break.
Mm-hmm.
And although I was in the Marine Corps and diagnosed in the Marine Corps, I was released untreated.
Wow.
And released back into the community. And then I didn't have an expression in my community because, you know, it was something that was taboo. When you talk about mental illness in the Black community, approximately 20% of Black and African American adults, or that's 7 million people experiencing mental illness annually.
Right.
And so it's historically something that embeds in our community. And so trauma, PTSD, where we can go on in terms of the gaps or treatment that's just within our community. And so I was left to my own devices, dealing with something that I had no mechanism to really handle, and I started to self-medicate.
Right, right. Man.
And then we got out of control. It got out of control and to the point where I became addicted and ended up losing everything and had no power to overcome it until I really called on Jesus.
Right, right. Now, it's known in California, Skid Row is widely known. There's a lot of organizations that go out to Skid Row and try to assist, help with clothing, mental health. However, did you take part in any of those organizations? Does that really exist? Or how did your transformation begin?
No, 100%. You know, through divine intervention, I tell the story explicitly in my book, how I ended up at a place called the Union Rescue Mission.
Okay.
And it was there at the Union Rescue Mission that I entered into the Christian discipleship program that they have there.
Mm-hmm.
And where they help you to deal with recovery and to look at your trauma. And I met some wonderful people to help me to understand recovery from a biblical framework. And that's when I first got introduced to that concept. But I met a wonderful woman named Dr. Lula Bailey Balton and her husband, Carl Balton.
Mm-hmm.
And they really adopted me into their family. At the time, I was estranged from my family because really what moved me to the mission was my mother telling me no. And, you know, she couldn't come out anymore. She wasn't going to rescue me.
Right.
You know, that part really created a sense of homelessness for the first time in my life.
Right.
And where I had no one that I can have. And so as a result of that, I ended up at the mission. And I go in great detail of that experience in my book. But it was there I started to rediscover and self-discover.
Mm-hmm.
And after being encouraged to go back to school, and I went back to school and started my academic journey at the age of 30.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And met my wife. Mm-hmm. And there in school in an adult learning program called PACE. And from there, you know, I began to look inwardly at myself and how I can become the person that God was crafting to me. I had made a covenant with him that he would save me and rescue me and save my mind and change me. I would give it all back to him and serve him for the rest of my life.
Amen.
And I tried to keep to that covenant.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I love that. We've talked about redemption and recovery. What do you have to say to somebody in the process of re-entry, right? Because we talk about people who go to jail and then they have to, or even the services, like you said, the Marines, and then you have to re-enter into society on a different level because years have passed. And so things aren't the same from the time you entered to now when you have to come back. What is that process like?
Well, it requires great patience on so many different levels.
Mm-hmm.
Because it requires immense patience. Because you got to remember, the individual is suffering from multifaceted challenges.
Right.
You know, including the simple navigation of daily life and learning how to do that over again, let alone trying to find employment, securing housing, et cetera. And then when you couple that with the fact of the trauma that can, you know, reemerge or continue to perpetuate throughout their life cycle and their journey back. And then when we're trying to reunite them back with not just community, but potentially family, we have to have real skilled ability to help them with that process. And it needs to be slow and methodical and patient and be done with compassion and care. And a lot of times we want to rush them back into that space. And it's a healing journey as much as it is a returning journey. Right. So it's not just about coming back and assimilating. It's about restoring.
Right.
And so when you are restoring, you know, the scripture talks about when you restore somebody that we have to do it in the spirit of meekness.
Mm.
Right. And so when we restore people, we have to learn how to do it within that space, within that spirit. Right. And I think that's important.
Oh, I love it. I love when you said restoring, not assimilating. If you could just go a little deeper with that, that's so powerful. We have to restore, not just assimilate.
Yeah. As believers, we are called to emulate Christ. We are the restorer of the breach.
Right.
And so when we talk about what that means, that's not just because somebody made a wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
We are to look at what that means, right? So we restore breaches in relationships, breaches in identity, breaches in, you know, the physical side of who we are. One of the things that we explore and develop the ministry, and right now I'm in the process of launching it, fully launching it on my website, called WAR, Word Assisted Recovery. And we talk about, and it's called WAR on purpose because we're at a war. Paul talked about in Romans how we have a war going on in our members.
Right.
And so God gave me this acronym called Word Assisted Recovery, WAR, that uses foundational belief within a 12-step principle, but it's Christian-based, and it really talks about how do we repair the breaches that happen when our identity is broken and is marred, and how do we give that back? And so we take the people through a process of really understanding who they are. And God gave me each step that we have has a component of faith working with it, because, you know, we feel like, because faith is a working thing. And so
right.
We have to understand that it takes faith to really embark upon this journey. And faith must be working
right
with or through some characteristic of God. And so we start aligning what those faith journeys are, those steps, and we order to admit that we need the Savior, we need grace, we need somebody to help us, we need humility. And so faith working in humility is necessary for the first step of the journey. So we go on this whole journey about what it means to be humble and how God gives more grace to the humble. And
right.
It's a whole process that I take them through. Because what we're doing is we're restoring identity so they know who they are.
I love
it. So that when the enemy comes in and the winds of the world comes in to try to take away their core, the winds can come and buff against them, but they don't shake and they don't rattle because we're developing a root system that's anchored in faith.
I love it. Yeah, because faith, it requires action and application, and definitely is a mindset. And I love what you're saying. Like, you just got to know who you are. And a lot of the work, I always think everything that we're taught is like assimilation and imitation, and watch that and you can become that, or watch that and be that, right? But still, there's no work inside. And I always say the Holy Spirit is the inside man, and we ignore him, and we're trying to find gratitude so much through visual and just copying and duplicating. Now, Pastor, I need your pastor hat. You know, the value of being humble and understanding who we are in Christ Jesus. How do we even begin to let people know how valued they are spiritually? It's the inside job.
Well, first of all, we help them to understand that Christ died for them, right? Because when we understand that the price he paid to restore the broken image that received through Adam, you know, because a lot of people say I'm made in the image of God. They
right.
always talk about the similitude of Adam, not the similitude of Christ.
Come on.
Because they don't really understand that he didn't do the express image of God, right? To us now, because as the second Adam came, he came to restore the image that was marred through Adam.
Right.
We don't teach that effectively in the church anymore. And so people say, when they say I'm born in the image of God, from a worldly perspective, they're really referring to the image of Adam. But they don't understand that Adam begot a broken image.
Right.
Because if the Bible breaks the line, it said Adam begot, and he begot after his own similitude, which was fallen at that point, which is the reason why Christ had to come in the first place, because the image had been broken and we no longer could walk with God in the cool of the day. I'm teaching a series right now about restoring walking and talking with God again and how we can effectively do that. And it's a 3-part message about hearing, listening, and talking. How do we hear? How do we listen? How do we talk? And how we walk ultimately with God again now? And how do we do that, and why Christ came for us to do that? And so it's important for us to understand that, first of all, we have the image of God inside of us restored. And when we can accept that and see that, then that's when the journey really begins.
Right,
right.
Right.
Because until we can get there, then we can't really start the journey, because we can't really start the process of transformation. We have to understand that what we're trying to do is look into the perfect law of our liberty, which is a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
to reflect back the image that was given to us through the born again identity. So when we have Christ in us, we are born again. And the Bible says when you are born of God, that's what is born of God, saying it's not. So there's a perfect image inside you already that's waiting to see itself.
Come on, that's the joy.
And the only way it can see itself is if we allow ourselves to get into the Word of God, which is the perfect law of liberty, the mirror that allows us to reflect back the image that the Spirit is waiting to see itself at. Like you, it's waiting to see the reflection come back.
Mm-hmm.
When we do that, then we can commune at a level that most people don't really know that they can have available to them now. Because the Bible says you have eternal life. Like, you have it now. You have everything inside of you pertaining to life and godliness now. You have the kingdom now. We can bring it now.
Yes,
and so
sir.
I try to teach people this through a process of helping them to understand it's through recovery. It's through this process. We get deep into the Word of God so they can see the revelatory knowledge of the Scripture back to them. And not this whole process of how we like to preach the Word of God today, but I try to delve deep into the Scripture so they can see it, self-discover for themselves who they are.
Man, that was so good. I was holding myself and being quiet so I didn't interrupt. I always say a part of our humanness is that we're trying to imitate everything but Christ. We're being taught everything but Christ. We're following everything but Christ, you know? So I thank you so much for answering that question as well as you did. And to verify and conclude and let y'all know that Skid Row to CEO, you're hearing the journey. You're hearing him explain a process that got him to where he is today. And I know these words have been edifying to you. Pastor Troy, let them know everything about you. Because what I want is I want people to definitely connect with people who know the Lord for real and who can teach properly and line upon line. So I need you to let them know where they can come and or where they can listen to your messages, where they can purchase your book, and however else they need to connect with you on social media.
Yes. So Skid Row to CEO, which is our platform we just launched in relation to the book, that's where they will be able to get access to all materials that I'm teaching on, that I'm launching. Right now they can go on the website and get a copy of the book. Stay connected to the website, and there'll be portals that are being developed right now that's going to give them access to present work. I teach every week, and that work is now being cataloged to be put on the website so they have ready access as of March the 1st. All people who join the website and become members of that will have access to all that work. Because when I left the mission, I was president and CEO of Los Angeles Mission for close to 6 years, and after being a board member for 2.5 years, and God told me he had need of my voice. And I was like, well, God, I preach every week. I'm doing all this. What do you mean? Like, I was trying to understand, like, he wanted to use my voice differently than just behind the pulpit.
And
he said, I need your voice. And I said, okay. And now I'm starting to understand that he wants to put me on a different platform.
He wants me
to use my voice in a different way. And so through different forms of media. So I'm starting to launch that now. I'm a real person of excellence, so I do a lot of pre-work first before I launch stuff. So I want to make sure that people are getting quality work. And, you know, by me, I study and a student of the Scriptures and other faiths as well. So I want to make sure that people understand that I'm a student of the Word of God. I believe I'm a devout follower of Jesus Christ. I want to make sure that I can defend the gospel correctly and that I can give people the meaty word that they can live by. And I'm a student of the Word of God unapologetically. I follow Jesus Christ. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I pray in my heavenly language daily. I'm that person.
Yes.
But I also have a doctorate in theology. I have a PhD. I'm pursuing my third one. I have a Juris Doctor. Like, I'm a student of study, and I'm still being taught.
Right.
And I'm learning the more I discover of who God is, the more I want.
Right.
The deeper I want to go, and the deeper I want to give, and the deeper I want to share, because he is so amazing. And he is everything, man. You talking about the GOAT. People always talk about the GOAT this, the GOAT that. You talking about the greatest of all time.
Right.
Like, just the Lord is amazing. He said, if all the books were gathered together.
That's right.
He said, I come in the volume of the book. He said, if every book you gathered, every book, it wouldn't be enough to contain them.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, the gospel
that's
is so vast.
Language.
Yeah.
That's gold language. If you ask me, that's drop mic, all of that. Like, you want to know that person. That's the kind of person you want to know.
Right, that part. We can go goat scripture to goat scripture. Like, I lay myself down and pick it back up. Like, you know, I tell people, once you get involved with reading the scriptures, it's so impactful, and it will influence you, and you don't even know it. And I always say revelation is not revelation until it's revelation to you. So that's why you see people go to church. That's why people go to church every Sunday, and you're wondering, well, where's the change? Where's the change? Or how come they so mean? Or how come? Because they didn't obtain the revelation of what they were being taught. So
exactly. And the thing about it is, and the thing about revelation is that we have the book of Revelation.
Right.
And the revelation of Jesus Christ. Here's the mystery of godliness. I'm going to give it to you guys. Listen, when he said this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. So when we read scripture, like, the only thing that we want to understand about scripture and should be doing is wanting to see more of him revealed to us in our life, because we are trying to be conformed to the image of him.
Right.
So we need to come to know him so much. We need to really want to understand that image. Like, so my thing is that there is no other revelation other than Jesus. Because think about this. Jesus says, before time, the word of God says by the Holy Spirit, before time I spoke to the prophets. But in these last days, in this last day, I speak through my son, Jesus Christ. This is it. He is the revelatory. He's the revelator. He is revelation. He is it.
Right. And so you can't.
Now I want to know him.
Right. Right. That was so good, Pastor, because you can't usurp Jesus.
No one comes into
the Lord unless he draws them. So you can't. You know, I like to tell people, everybody not making it to heaven. I hate to bust everybody's bubble. People die and they be like, well, they in a better place. I can't call it. I don't know. I don't know their life. I don't know what God has called. However, let's be clear. Not everyone will go to heaven. If that was true, then it wouldn't be a hell. I'm just sharing.
Yeah. Ooh, no, you don't just sharing. You speaking truth.
Yeah.
Like, here's the reality. We like to say that because we want to feel good about where it is.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to be truthful about it, because there is a heaven and a hell.
Mm-hmm.
There is a such thing as being lukewarm, because we give ourselves a reason. Like, one of my mentors, Dr. Anthony Page, he since passed away. He used to always say, don't make excuses about the gospel. Don't make excuses about your walk, because you're just giving yourself an excuse. And I said, what do you mean by that? Like, I don't give myself, you know, I get up early on, I'm defensive. Like, I want to know deeper. You got to go deeper than that. You can't just say that to me. And he was like, no. When we don't confront sin that's active in our own lives, then what we do is give ourselves a reservation. We give ourselves an excuse, an opportunity to one day say, it's okay to do it in your life, because one day I want to make sure I'm excused for my behaviors too.
Mm.
And I'm like, oh, that's kind of deep.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is that when people say everybody, all dogs go to heaven, everybody go to heaven, right? When people say that, what they're saying is that I want to make sure I'm getting in too. Even though I'm not living right.
That's right. I don't believe God.
I don't want to feel as though, you see, even though I don't want to feel as though I'm excluded.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Because even though I know I ain't living right, even though I know doing it, I'm going to give myself a reason and opportunity. So even though I know this person did not love Jesus, did not confess Jesus, I know this for 100% fact. I get up at this funeral, because it ain't a celebration, it ain't a funeral, and I say, they love God, they're in a better place. I say that. Why? Because ultimately, my consciousness, I'm saying, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
You got to be sure in your own faith to be able to stand up and say, I tell people say, Pastor, will you preach at this service? I say, do they love Jesus? Did they love Jesus? Because if I didn't know they love the Lord, I tell them no. And it's like, you're supposed to preach at their service. You're a preacher. I said, no, I'm not. I'm not like that. First of all, I'm not a preacher for hire.
Okay.
And number two is that I'm a pastor. That means I have a congregation. I have people that I know love God, and then they know, and I look over their soul daily. I pray over them. So, yeah, those are my congregants. You can't just call me because you're a member of my family, like three cousins removed from you, and somebody died. You want me to do the service? I don't know them people. I have people in my family that tell me that ain't right. I'm saying, what's wrong with it?
Okay, so let me just say this, right? As a pastor, I think you should, right? Now, just hear me out. I think you should, because I think we should always take an opportunity to minister the gospel. So if these people are lost, I think it is our duty to make sure we go and shed light, you know. So whether they're saved or not saved.
If the Holy Ghost tell me to preach, I will.
Right, right. Okay, okay.
Okay.
That's all I want to hear. Because you're absolutely right.
What I want to communicate with people is that we got to stop using the church get out of jail free card. We can't walk our line all day long. Listen, there's too much people
you
out
ain't
there.
Never lied.
And let me tell you, this ain't about coming to church and being religious and legalistic.
Right.
Don't want to serve God and don't want to call on church, don't want to do anything faithful until it's time and to the end. Then you call on the church. You call on the man of God. You call on the woman of God to do this, to do that. That's a drain on the resources. And
Come
the word of God says you can't spread yourself thin, right? Don't cast your pearl before swine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what the word says. And so it's not about not wanting to share the gospel and to evangelize, because it's good news, but we gotta do it also to the living, while they're alive. We gotta tell them. And it's not about, it's like here's the truth of it.
Right.
You guys got to start doing right now, because you can't wait to the end and then call upon the church to do that, because it's not fair to the process.
Right.
Right. Like, and so we got to hold ourselves and other people accountable.
I love it.
When pastors allow themselves to be hired out,
mm-hmm.
and they don't understand they have a duty to their flock, because the Bible says, Jesus says, I'll leave the 99 to go after the one. He's not talking about going after a goat.
Right.
He said, I'm going after a sheep. So that means they're already a part of the sheepfold.
Gotcha.
Right. He said, I'm not going to leave the 90. I'm not going to leave the care of the 99 to go after a goat. I'll leave the care of the 99 to go after a sheep that's lost and to really try to bring them back into the sheepfold. But we're not supposed to leave the 99, the sheepfold, the work, the primary work of the ministry, to give our energy, our divinity, to people that are not interested in it in the first place. It doesn't mean that you don't share, because you gotta be careful that we don't do the work of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Because we are the proclaimers of the gospel. We're supposed to proclaim the gospel, but he's the one that brings people to the Lord. Without us, we just proclaim. Everybody's a proclaimer, not just preachers.
Right.
Right. He says, I send you out and I give you the word of proclamation, right? The good news, the message of Jesus Christ. Like we go out to share the gospel. That's the good news. And all of us, every believer, that's a sheep, that's a part of the sheepfold, is a proclaimer. So that means we ought to be evangelizing, right? And if we do that effectively, then we won't have problems where people in our families are not hearing the gospel. Because what's happening is that we have people that come to church, but they don't go home and share it.
Mm.
They don't go to their communities and share it.
Right.
So they don't see themselves as a proclaimer. They see the preacher that gets up on Sunday morning from the pulpit as the only proclaimer of the gospel.
They don't
see themselves as responsible for proclaiming the gospel. And I think that fallacy, I think that's a lie and a trick from the enemy. That's why we don't share the gospel. We don't have witnesses. It's why the majority of churches are dying on the vine. It's because they don't see themselves as connected to the groomsmen. They don't see themselves connected, and they don't understand the primary mission and mandate from the Lord himself is to go into the world and evangelize. They don't see themselves connected to it. At my church, I hold them accountable. It's right. mandated. You got to witness. You got to be a witness for Jesus. You can't be somebody who just attends church. You're a proclaimer. It's not just my job to proclaim. My job is to teach, and you, the Word of God. My job is to be the under shepherd to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Your job is to be a proclaimer with me. You got to be a co-laborer with Jesus.
Right.
But we've done a disservice to the church, especially within the Black church and the Black community, I would say,
mm-hmm.
because we've created a heap for ourselves of preachers having itchy ears to tell us something, and we don't feel ourselves empowered to go out and do the work of ministry.
Right, right. And I want to just backtrack on what you were saying about when family call you mm-hmm. to minister. The key word was if Holy Spirit says the same. So I wasn't saying that.
I will do it 100%.
Yeah, I wasn't saying 100%. That. That's what I meant when I say I think we should, but definitely by assignment. Secondly, I love everything you said. I got to come wherever you at, and we got to hang out because I love it. Part of the reason why people who go to church and don't feel like they have the authority or the wherewithal to proclaim the gospel is pastors and church has made it serve the man of God and my adjutant and my this, and the titles have dictated who can and who cannot, all right, speak the word of God, which is an atrocity, okay? He said, I poured my spirit out on everybody. Okay? So everybody under the spirit of Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, has the power and the authority to speak. And so many people go to church, get filled with the Holy Spirit, and then will say to the man of God or the woman of God, you know, the Lord told me, don't you tell me what the Lord, what do you mean the Lord told you? And especially, God forbid, is correction. Okay. So now it's, you don't know what you're talking about, but that's church hurt and people get stifled. And so I am so glad you shared that people are to proclaim the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is straight ministry. I love when I talk to the saints because this is what mainstream media is afraid of. But we're going to get this word
it's
out.
True. It's true. Because listen, I tell people all the time, in my church, I teach my people, because the Great Commission is given to all.
Right. Right?
According to Matthew 28:19-20, go therefore and make disciples. Right?
That part.
Not lap dogs, make disciples. Right? It's not just spoken only to the apostles, clergy, class, all these different people. Go make disciples. Everybody. Right? And then he said in Acts 1:8, I give you the power to be a witness, right? You shall receive power to be a witness, not to pastors, not to evangelists, to you. Every spirit-filled believer listening to the under the sound of my voice, you are a witness.
Amen.
And empowered to be so. But then in Peter, he says it's to the priesthood of all believers. Right, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
That
you should go forth the praise, show the praises. Right, a priest representation, a witness proclamation. Right, so I just want to make sure that we understand that this is our theology. This is who we are at the core. The purpose of Jesus Christ coming. Now, my thing is, like in the church, we don't teach that anymore for some reason. And we don't empower the people to be that. I don't understand why, but that's what we should be doing.
Right. But it's because of the titles.
Who we are in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's because of the titles. You know, people have gotten so fancy about titles, bishops, apostle, prophet. They forget what you just said, that we are all to go out and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And like you said, if they were more interested in creating disciples, then what you said shall be true and will be true is true.
This is the problem. Our theology is screwed. Okay. according to Ephesians. Right. No. According to, like, I'm a theologian, right? Like,
come on, sir. I love it.
Okay, so according to Ephesians 4:11, the Bible says he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. Here's the rub: for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Jesus Christ. Right? Notice what he says. Apostles are pioneers, they're foundation layers, right? That's still the case, right? They're foundation layers, right? Spiritual prophets are spiritual discerners and declarers. Evangelists, people who are proclaimers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, shepherds and caretakers. So all these fivefold ministry gifts are given by Jesus Christ for the equipping of the saints. Here's what it's not. Of what we made it. It's not hierarchy. It's not a status symbol. It's not a title collection. And we've made it that because of the work of the flesh. It's tradition. Because the work of the flesh got in, we made it hierarchy. We made it a status symbol. We made it a title collection. So people, they covet it. Now, so we coveted something that God gave, right? Why did he give it? He tells us in verse 12 why he gave it: for perfecting and equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, and for the building up of the body. So when you don't see those three things happening, then the true operation of the fivefold ministry gifts is not present. Because in order for the true purpose of the fivefold ministry gifts to be present, you have to see the three things that the purpose of the before.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Like, yes. They accompany them.
Yes, yes. I love it.
And Christ gives the leaders. Christ gives the leaders. Leaders equip the saints. Saints do ministry, the bodies mature. That's the motto. It's always been the motto. Christ gives the leaders equip the saints, saints do the ministry, and the body matures.
I love it.
So what we've done is the fivefold ministry gifts was never meant to replace the saints. It was always meant to release them, not replace them.
Right.
But what we've done is we have replaced the saints' work with the fivefold ministry. And so we just told the saints to sit down. And y'all worship us. Y'all sit down. You worship us. And now we start ordaining and give leaders. We don't even let Christ give leaders now.
Wow.
We don't even let Christ ordain and do and call and let people feel the calling and the unction. He's still doing it. But mostly we create institutions, and we set up for ourselves preachers having itchy ears, and that's why we have institutionalized leadership, right?
Yeah.
And we're not equipping people by teaching them the word of God. Why? Because we coveted it. We like praise. In our humanness, we like it. It's intoxicating. We go with it.
Yes,
we like
it's
it.
It's intoxicating. Yes. Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Till we understand that fivefold gifts are functional graces, not personal promotions. And so until we understand that, we'll never get this thing. It's a problem. It's a problem across Christendom worldwide. It's a problem.
Yeah.
And that's why God in these last days is raising up preachers with a voice. He says, I have need of your voice differently now.
Yeah.
Not just behind the pulpit, but I need you to teach the people, because the people need to hear your voice differently. They've never heard you. I've been in the fiery furnace.
Come on, sir.
I've been in the fiery furnace. When I told you, God, that I have need of your voice, this is what he meant.
Yeah.
He's made me a mouthpiece unto the nation.
Yes, sir. Woo! Thank you for coming by here. Thank you for coming by here. Now, the new book is Skid Row to CEO. If y'all can't feel the fire coming through the man of God, shame on you. Shame on you. Because this is purposeful. I mean, I honestly believe this was ordained to really use this platform to inform the uninformed what a Christian life is. I mean, this probably one of the best teachings we have done on this platform in a while, because I always allow Holy Spirit to do what it needs to do. We don't stifle that. And so it could be about the book, and it could be because you need to hear something. But I definitely want you guys to support the book, because when you support the book, you support the ministry. And I'm so glad that you definitely laid a foundation, because when you hear truth, you have to respond, right? And we need to start sowing our money into good soil. And so when you hear and you can identify what's good, then you sow. And so I'm asking you to sow and purchase Skid Row to CEO, because not only did you hear the man of God and you could feel his heart and you heard the spirit through this, imagine what the book is going to equip you with. I'm glad you went to Ephesians, because that's it. Saints need to be equipped. And like you were mentioning, no one's equipping the saints. So they're just going to church and going home. Not all of y'all, because I see an emerging of new voices. And you said it so well, that God is calling us. Like, look, speak up, say something. You know, we can't keep quiet now. We are in a state of emergency. There's no time to turn a blind eye. There's time to now speak against these things and not hold back or not be afraid. You know, the kingdom suffer violence and the violence take it back by force. There's no punks in the kingdom.
I know that's right.
Yeah, you know, in the Bible, and people don't teach it, but God, one of my favorite scriptures is when they were stoning Stephen and it said, and Jesus stood up. Now, if you have siblings, you know that if anyone hit your sibling or tried to attack anybody in your family, what did you do? You got up, right? So Jesus cares for us. He's not going to let... There's nothing impossible for Christ to do. He's not going to let the enemy devour us. We may feel the pressure, but what it say, pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're not going to lose. We can't lose. But you won't know that until you get ready to, you know, stand your ground. God just want to know who's on the Lord's side. And so we learn how to, you know, navigate in the spirit. It says walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So I'm just saying, you know, we have a job to do. And I thank God for this connection, you know, and I think today we reintroduce Christ in one of the best ways ever. If you don't know the Lord, we want you to know him.
We want people to know who Jesus is. And I think it's our job as leaders to help teach them, right? I think for years the church has suffered from the subtle but dangerous misunderstanding of who we are, right? Because we have professionalized ministry. We have centralized calling. We have spectatorized discipleship. and so we need to change that dynamic, right? Like, we need to change it totally, right? Like, and we need to get out of that, right? We built stages instead of systems.
Come on.
Platforms instead of people, right? Arenas instead of altars. And so we need to get out of this, and we need to say, okay, God, we repent, and God, help us to restore ourselves back to who we really are. And God's waiting for us. He is waiting.
Yes. Amen. All those who are listening now who have felt through this interview a calling from the Lord.
Amen. Some of you are listening to me right now. You've been waiting for permission. And I want to tell you that permission was granted at salvation. Some of you hearing me were waiting to feel ready, but equipping comes through engagement. And so today it's not about title. It's about activation.
Amen.
And if you're ready to move from sitting to serving, from consuming to contributing, from attending to advancing, I want you to make your heart open today, right? I want to pray activation over you, over your house, over your houses of worship. Father, under the lordship of your son, Jesus Christ, we surrender to your structure. Equip us, align us, mature us, engage us, and let us, let this temple, let this house be known for more than just spectator sport, but let us be saints in motion. Let us be the ones that you've called and activated in these last days.
Yes, Lord.
Let our empowerment, Lord, be a witness of you. And so we give you all the glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, yes. And if you feel that you want to be saved, all you have to do is surrender and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Mm-hmm. And know that he heard you and that he will enter. But you have to ask him. You have to invite him in. And so you ask him in, and then the activation of your faith to believe that he's in, that he did come, that he died, that he was buried, and on the third day he rose again. Easter is right around the corner, family. And you don't have to wait for Easter. You don't have to wait for Easter. It can happen today. And although you feel it's just words, I promise you, this is the activation of the supernatural work of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And I know people have made the supernatural spooky, but it's nothing spooky about it. Not when it comes to Jesus Christ. Salvation is a process. For some, it's immediate. For others, it takes a while. But just know, if he said it, it is so. So just try. And there's nothing you can do to make God love you any more than he already does. Even if you do something wrong, he doesn't love you less. Even if you're trying your hardest to please him, he doesn't love you more. God simply is love. Pastor Troy, tell them your website and how they can connect with you. And I thank you so much for sharing today.
Amen. They can go to my website at skidrowtoceo.org. And all my information is there.
Mm-hmm.
skidrowtoceo.org.
Amen.
And it'd be resources there. The homepage, and then, you know, get ready because it's great in the blog. There's going to be a lot of stuff coming there, and a lot of information there already, but more information to follow, messages, information, interviews. They can just see some of the work that's going up already, but, you know, God is already there. They can just kind of see more about who I am.
Right.
And be a part of that, but it's getting ready to come.
Amen. Well, thank you again. I appreciate you. You, my brother in Christ. This is why God has given me a platform and a voice to do just this. And man, the top of the year 2026, I'm excited. I'm already excited. You know, I always say how you start something is how you end it. So if we starting like this already, then it's all good.
Hey, man, I love it.
Well, thank you.
I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. Thank you again, and I appreciate you so much.
Amen.